If nothing else, we can always count on Sebastian to come on here and talk about a right back and Timo Werner at the very least. Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. With less than a week left before Bayern Munich kick off the new Bundesliga season, many doubts remain over the strength of Bayern's current squad. While many fans were resigned that the current squad is the one with which the Bavarians will enter the new season, an unexpected report that Bayern will try to sign RB Leipzig's Marcel Sabitzer in the coming days has given many fans a spark of hope. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about that topic and a few others with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello.
And Sebastian Zimmermann.
Hi.
Well, guys, just a couple days ago, we were hit with probably the biggest transfer news of the summer. The world was shocked when it came out that Bayern Munich were apparently interested in signing Marcel Sabitzer. At least I think that's the biggest transfer news that's come out this week. But yeah, many, you know, including myself, are a bit shocked. I think we were all kind of expecting, maybe against our wishes, Bayern to go into the season without making any big signing. But the rumors are suggesting, you know, about an 18 million to 20 million euro fee that Bayern may be paying RB Leipzig for Marcel Sabitzer. Pretty much any reliable source is confirming at least the interest. And also, you know, some suggesting that Sabitzer and Bayern have even agreed terms between themselves. All that's left is the agreement between the two clubs. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty excited about that. Garrett, what are your thoughts, just initial thoughts on this potential transfer, right? Would Sabitzer be somebody that you would want at Bayern? Is that somebody who, you know, you think would make a significant impact on the current squad?
I think he'd be excellent signing. Obviously, I mean, you talk about a guy of his caliber for 18 or 20 million. Seems like a bargain. I think he's 27. So, you know, on the older end of things in terms of, you know, what you kind of think of as, I don't know, young. I don't know. he's a lot younger than me, but yeah, to be able to get a player of his caliber. I mean, they're planning for him to be the captain of RB Leipzig if he stays with the club. So, I mean, obviously that's a top level player to be getting. I would imagine that we'll have to see some guys leave before that actually happens. And it sounds like, you know, based on some of the reporting, it sounds like they're fairly optimistic that that's going to happen, to be already talking with Sabitzer and also, I mean, they mentioned having other midfield, potential targets and stuff, but yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly that he'd, you know, step right in and start right away, obviously with Kimmich and Goretzka playing the in the midfield there, in the central midfield, but I don't think he wouldn't play. I mean, he'd have to come in and play pretty much right away, just based on his ability, his playmaking ability, I think is probably maybe the thing that I would be looking forward to the most. And he plays, if I remember correctly, a little bit further up the field than either Kimmich or Goretzka tend to. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be a great signing. It'd be a really good deal. I do worry that it would kind of hurt a little bit in terms of, that would be the third RB Leipzig signing that Bayern have made this season after Leipzig finished second. So that really wouldn't help the whole Bayern just buy from their closest rival, and that's how they win the Bundesliga every year type chatter. But it works, even if that's the way it looks. So yeah, I mean, I'd be thrilled for that signing if it does actually go through.
Sebastian, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts as well. I'm kind of with Garrett. I'd be thrilled if it went through. I think it'd be a fantastic piece of business from Bayern Munich. Obviously, we'll talk about some of the things he brought up here in a minute. But Sebastian, what are your, I guess, your initial thoughts, especially considering that rumored price tag of around 18 million euros?
Yeah, I think first I want to say It's probably not the flashiest transfer you can make. He's probably not a huge star or anything, especially not internationally. But yeah, other than that, there's really not much you can do wrong here if you get that guy, because that price tag just seems incredibly low for a guy like that. That's not even half his market value, basically. So this looks too good to not do it if the guy actually wants to play for a club. If you want to find something negative about this, if it actually happens, I think the only thing I can come up with is kind of that he's not like immediately plugging a hole or anything. He's not immediately solving a problem. It's not like if we would be getting a right back of that level, for example. But that's really the only thing I can say. Maybe you could say that he's not the youngest player out there, but I think 27 is a good age for a player to get. So I don't see that as a problem. And when we come to the positive side of this, as I said, the price tag is brilliant. He has a good character. You can assume he's a guy you can build on. He's a reliable guy. He has a good head on his shoulders, you want to say, I guess. Also, he's so versatile. He's such a versatile player. He used to be more of an attacking player, but a while ago, just like 2-3 years ago, maybe even. And now he's more of a central or defensive midfielder at the moment, but he still can play a lot of those positions, I would say. When you look at his numbers, he has even played striker. He's basically played everything down the middle, from striker to defensive midfielder, and even recently all of those. And he can play on the right side, he can play on the left side. So yeah, this is a player. He's so good. He brings a good character. And yeah, you just can find a place for him. I don't think he would be an immediate starter, because he's probably, well, yeah, but no, I guess I still want to go with that. I would say he's probably not our best player on any of those positions, but he's probably our second best option on like 4 or 5 or something like that. So I guess he would not be a starter exactly, like in the usual sense, but he would probably get so many games that he would still look like a starter if you look at the stats after a season. So this is too good to be true. Actually, if you can get him for 18 million, I would say you cannot go wrong. And I would say, If it's possible to get him for something around that number, like 20, 22 maybe, get him and be done with it. Because if you wait too long, and if his contract's running out next year, there might be others that see that this is a very good deal, and there might be a competition there. So if you can get it done now, I would say get it done now.
So for me, there's really three things that stand out that would make this a top-tier transfer, if you will. Like you said, it's not flashy by any means, but it would still be incredible business. And we've talked about two already. It's the price tag is irresistible. You have to go sign him, like you just said. Second, you just addressed this, Sebastian, his versatility. He can play on the wing if needed. He can play the 8. He can play the 10. But the third thing that really stands out to me is this has got Julian Nagelsmann's name written all over it, right? Nagelsmann's the guy who came in and really turned Sabitzer from a pretty good Bundesliga player to one of the best guys in the league, a guy that almost all of the top clubs about Europe or around Europe are going to have their eyes on. He turned Sabitzer into his team captain. And I'm almost inclined to disagree with you, Sebastian, a little bit, and might even think that if we were to make this signing, Nagelsmann would be pretty quick to get him in into the starting 11. I'm not going to suggest he would start over Joshua Kimmich, or even Leon Goretzka right now, but I do think there's a potential there, or even a potential for the three of them to work together. And so in all ways, basically, this is a transfer that stands out as an amazing move for me. And as for the age thing, that argument's kind of weakening as we go on, right? Look at Robert Lewandowski and what he's doing. The older he gets, the better he's getting. And he's at his peak right now, and we don't even know if that may even go even higher. I think of players, one that comes to mind is Antoine Griezmann, who at about 27 years old was just now entering into kind of the world's eye. He was just now entering into his best stage. And so 27 might not be the youngest, but we're getting a player who is entering into his prime and still has potential to go up a level or two. And so it's really exciting there. Garrett, I brought up Leon Goretzka. Obviously, anyone who listens to the pod knows about your affinity with him, but it looks like Joshua Kimmich's about to sign his contract extension, and Goretzka, we're still kind of on the not on the fence about, but we don't know whether he's going to go one way or the other. What sort of impact do you think a move from Marcel Sabitzer might have on Leon Goretzka signing his contract with Bayern or choosing not to?
I honestly don't know that it's going to have much effect at all. I'd read I forget who I was reading that said that the talks were progressing again with Goretzka, and it looked like it was getting pretty close to over the line, just because Goretzka and Kimmich are pretty close friends. And I think I looked the other day, I think they're born 2 days apart or something like that, which is kind of bizarre, random fact, but I think that getting Kimmich locked in kind of helped move Goretzka along, or is helping move Goretzka's contract talks along. It seems like Goretzka really wants to be at Bayern, even though he is probably getting more interest abroad since strong Euros and stuff. But I think the reason that I don't think that potentially bringing in Sabitzer would really affect Goretzka too much is, like you guys said, you could plug Sabitzer pretty much almost anywhere on the pitch and feel pretty good about it. So I think even though he wouldn't necessarily be a starter, like Sebastian said, he might be the second best option in a lot of different positions. So he may, you know, end up starting most games because you can kind of just rotate him around through the lineup and probably not really skip a beat because he is so versatile and so good at so many positions. And like you mentioned, he really started blossoming under Julian Nagelsmann. So if anything, I would say that signing Sabitzer might actually help move along the Kingsley Coman talks because of Sabitzer's ability to play on the wing and all those different positions. We've talked about Kingsley Coman not being the most versatile player that we have. And with all the talks around him, you know, being upset with his contract, wanting way more than Bayern, you know, value him at, him getting a little bit of interest abroad and all that sort of stuff, it might actually help push that along, either to give Bayern a little bit more leverage in saying, listen, we don't have to sell or keep you. There's still a couple years left on his contract, gives Bayern a little bit extra cover. Or it could just help them to be like, yeah, we can let this guy go and actually make a pretty decent amount in transfer fees. So as far as I'm concerned, I think Goretzka is probably sitting in a pretty good position either way. I think that signing Sabitzer would actually just help Bayern to kind of have some leverage in other positions, like potentially with Kingsley Coman.
Yeah, Garrett brought up Kingsley Coman after talking about Goretzka for a little bit. Sebastian, I'm just wondering if there's anybody that stands out to you as, I guess, a loser, if you will, from this move. If Sabitzer is signed, does anyone stand out as, hey, they have to go or else you really need to step up and prove that you deserve to be here?
I think not really that much, because I think he might, this transfer, if it happens, might mean that we can probably get rid of another 27-year-old in Quentin Tolisso. I guess I see him as probably the biggest loser of this. They are kind of the same age and actually have similar positions that they can play. Tolisso hasn't played offensive positions as much anymore, but I see a lot of similarities between those two. But I guess I don't want to emphasize that too much, because I think at least we all agree that Tolisso is probably on the way out anyway. I would not consider him as much of a loser here, because I think his future and the best way for him is no longer at this club anyway. So yeah, it would be weird to say that's taken away anything from him if he's probably not going to have a good shot here anymore anyway, I guess. I think, interestingly, I think I see Sabitzer more as someone who would play some kind of central position than on the wing. Of course, I also see him on the wing, but just my first ideas that I get thinking about him are not so much Coman and people who might play on the right or on the left side, but rather at the center, I guess. That's more what I have in mind here. And I think that's also kind of the beauty of this, because there was so much talk about getting a central midfielder in, basically. And I wasn't happy with any of those ideas, even if they were very high profile at times, and players you would just, you cannot really say, okay, I don't want this player because he's just too good, right? But I guess I would be much more happy with Sabitzer than any of those other options that we have been talking about, just because I don't see him as a problem for people like Goretzka, because I don't want to get someone in to push Goretzka out. I would really not like that. I think we're probably in a good position to get that new contract done with Goretzka now, and I think he should be an integral part of the club for the next couple of years at least. And that's what I especially like about this Sabitzer idea, because he's a player who could very well play a role similar to Goretzka. But if Goretzka and Kimmich are both playing 40 games next season, basically, yeah, Sabitzer is still going to get his shots. He's still going to find his playing time, and everybody's going to be a winner, basically, at least of the important players. And yeah, that's just beautiful, I think.
I think another thing that stands out is he could also, you talked about Kimmich, you talked about Goretzka, but he would also be a fantastic fill-in for Thomas Muller if, you know, something was to ever happen with where Thomas Muller would need somebody to sub in. And I know we have Jamal Musiala, but we've talked about this in the past before about having someone age-wise between Muller and Musiala that would give them just another rotation option who could, you know, obviously Musiala is probably the long-term fill-in for Thomas Muller, but having somebody like Sabitzer who can also fill in at other positions, I think that would really be huge. I'm going to come to you both with this next question, but Garrett, I'll come to you first. If we sign Sabitzer, and then let's say we make no other moves this transfer window, how satisfied would you be with how Bayern did their business this summer?
We're talking about no more incoming transfers?
Yeah, no more incoming transfers.
Okay. Yeah, because I would assume there has to be outgoing. But
for sure, yeah.
I actually feel okay about it. Like it is a little bit kind of, it's a little bit ho hum. It's a little bit, even a little embarrassing to have basically your main signings coming from the same club who just finished second to you. Like there is a part of me that kind of like, I don't know how much I want to do that. But as far as Bayern just remaining pretty strong in the Bundesliga and also still having a good shot at competing in Champions League and the Pokal, like I think that the way that Bayern are constructed currently, they're sitting in a pretty good position. The only complaint that is the same complaint we always have, which is just, you know, who's going to play right back? If something happens to Pavard, are we feeling good about Benji playing there still, or is that kind of, I don't know. I don't know if they had intended him to be the primary right back. In any case, I'd say I'm pretty well satisfied. I do think that they need to sell some guys. I think Cuisance needs to leave. I think, like you mentioned, Sebastian Tolisso, I saw some rumors of him going to West Ham, which, you know, I have a little bit of affinity for West Ham. And so, like, I think you'd fit in really well there and actually be able to kind of restart his career in a place like that, where there's maybe not so much so much spotlight on him. And so I think he could really take off if he can remain healthy. But as much as I think he's a good depth piece for Bayern, I think for him it would be nice to see him be able to go somewhere. I'd like them to figure out what they're doing with Chris Richards. I want to know if are they planning to loan him out? Are they planning to sell him like we saw some rumors recently? Are they planning to have him be kind of that utility guy on the back line? Those would be the main issues that I see. But as far as incoming transfers, I would feel a lot better about where Bayern are if they were to get a guy of Sabitzer's caliber. So, yeah, I mean, that would be I'd be pretty happy going into the season.
Yeah, what about you, Sebastian?
Oh, well, I guess I'm a bit torn on this. I'm not completely confident about the team as it's looking now because, man, you know that, guys. We have been talking about that right back position for such a long time.
Right.
It's getting...
What else, like, would we talk about if they fix that, though?
Yeah, it's like whenever we have nothing to talk about, we can just do another right back episode if we need to, right? I mean, this is keeping this podcast afloat at times, I suppose. But hey, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating that nothing has happened there. This is the biggest issue for me. I guess we can survive, I suppose. But yeah, this is really just annoying that we really don't have solutions at that position. I mean, we have seen... That it's not like rocket science getting someone for that position. On the left side, it worked very, very well. I think we did something reasonable with Omar Richards now. Why can't we get an Omar Richards for the right side? I mean, there gotta be people like that you can sign for a relatively okay budget just to have some guy you can put some trust in. Like, it doesn't have to be the big solution, but do something at least. Do something that's not Bona Sarr.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think the idea was Bona Sarr, but...
Yeah, but that... Why can't you get a young, talented guy? I mean, probably you get one. Maybe that guy is not working out. But it doesn't have to be a perfect solution, but it has to be better than Bona Sarr. That cannot be such a problem. That
still calibrating. We're still calibrating that. We've hit the low mark. Maybe we try to kind of find the way to get that back up.
I mean, I would really like them to take more chances there. Get another one if he's also crap. All right, it's not going to be an expensive transfer. You can get rid of him again, right? So I don't know. It's not like that would have to be such a huge investment, right? So I would really like that to be solved, and then I really hope we have enough on offense. I'm also not 100% confident there because we don't know what's going to happen with Kingsley Coman. But let's imagine for the moment that he's staying and there are no problems. Then I guess with the rest I'm kind of okay, and I'm putting some trust here into our new coach. I think we talked about that in the chat earlier. While I trusted Hansi Flick more in developing a player and getting the best out of a player he trusts in, I think with Nagelsmann I really trust him to make the best out of a squad he's given. He's going to find solutions to put a working squad on the field. I think he's quite good at that. That's at least my feeling about him. So I don't think it's going to go too badly here, but yeah, it is a bit thin, especially on the right side, as I said. Yeah, it would be more ideal, of course, if we could have one more transfer or maybe two. I mean, you know me by now, at least you guys, but also our listeners probably. I'm still holding out hope for that big Timo Werner transfer. I would love that. That would solve my issues on offense and then get another right back. And then I'm going to be very happy because that would also be a Nagelsmann guy, of course. And of course, it's looking like Lukaku might be joining Chelsea very soon. And then maybe there's going to be... another bargain with another Nagelsmann guy. Wouldn't that be brilliant, right? That would make me more happy than I'm now.
If nothing else, we can always count on Sebastian to come on here and talk about a right back and Timo Werner at the very least. I do think there's a potential that we have a solution waiting in the wings, and I say potential because it's a long shot, with Josip Stanišić, who I know has been playing mostly at left back so far this preseason, but he's naturally right-footed. He's also naturally a center back, and he's not really the most offensively capable guy, but it would be nice to see him, you know, take that position and really push Benjamin Pavard to another level, or even make that position his own. That would be great to see, because it looks like he'll even be starting at left back this coming weekend.
Actually, for what it's worth, Transfermarkt has him as a right back.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know he plays right back for the amateur side or whatever, but he's mostly been playing at left back for the senior side, so it'd be nice to see that switch over.
They need to mark him as a defender in Fantasy Bundesliga, though. That was one of the things that I was most upset about this weekend.
That's funny. I went in as well to check and see if he was on there, and he wasn't, which, by the way, that's a good way for us to plug our Fantasy League. If you're not part of the Bundesliga Fantasy League, make your fantasy team. The league is called Super Bayern Pod. I just narrowly missed out on the top 10 last season, so I'm a little bit upset about that. I'm coming back with a vengeance this season. But yeah, Super Bayern Pod Fantasy League, be sure to join that. If you're interested in doing it, you can see how you stack up against us. And we have some pretty good, I guess, Bundesliga fantasy players in our league. So looking forward to that again this season. Let's talk about another move that Bayern actually did make this past week, and that was loaning out Joshua Zirkzee to Anderlecht for the upcoming season with no option to buy. I'm a little bit conflicted about this transfer. So, Garrett, what are your thoughts, just generally speaking, about getting Zirkzee out to Anderlecht?
He is a player that I was really excited about, I guess, near the end of Kovac time with the club. And then it seemed like that success kind of went to his head a little bit. And they started talking about some of the some issues off, maybe not off the pitch, but like on the training pitch and things like that. And so when they loaned him to Parma, I guess part of me was hoping that he wouldn't do well, because they did kind of have the option to buy. And I wanted to see if he was going to be successful, that he'd be successful for Bayern. So it is actually kind of nice to see him go to Anderlecht, which, you know, pretty, I mean, one of the bigger clubs over there in Belgium, correct? So, you know, that's good. I mean, there's no option to buy, which seems like the Bayern, you know, staff have kind of decided that, you know, he just needs a little bit more. I do kind of think that the miss during that friendly seems like it may have kind of snapped him into realization that, like, you know, he's not at the level where he can kind of take plays off even in friendly. And so I'm really hopeful for this move to really kind of get him to a place where he realizes the kind of work that he has to put in. Cause I think that the raw talent is there, and, you know, we've talked in the past about how he can be, you know, he could be that solution to, you know, what we need when Robert Lewandowski is hurt or moves on from Bayern or retires or whatever. Not that we think I could think he's going to be on that same level, but at least to the point where you feel pretty good you have to plug into that spot. So I'm really hopeful for the move. I mean, I don't know what else to say beyond that. It does, like I said, it's encouraging to me that there is no option to buy, because it does seem like Bayern want to keep him. Just on the face of it, I don't know if, you know, maybe there's more to that I'm not seeing, but I'm hopeful that this is going to be a really good move for him.
You see, any issue I have with this would actually be that there's not an option to buy, if that makes sense. I do kind of wish we would have thrown in a 15 million euro option to buy. Maybe I don't really know how I feel. Zirkzee, I think he's a talented player for sure, but he sort of rubs me the wrong way. I know that he can turn that around. He's obviously still young, but I'm not totally sure he's ever going to reach the potential that we saw in him when he was younger. And so I'd like to at least there be an option, or even better, an obligation for Anderlecht to buy and us try and make 10-15 million euros out of him and see what we can do. But Sebastian, what about you? I have a feeling you disagree with me there.
I mean, you know who also always rubbed me the wrong way when he was a young striker?
Who's that?
That would be Robert Lewandowski, of course.
True.
No!
I guess. Yeah, really? So...
Oh, wow.
Not usually surprising.
He rubbed you the wrong way when he was an old striker.
Yeah, but even more so when he was a young striker, I would say. I guess I didn't even know him when he was as young as Joshua Zirkzee is now. But yeah, I guess strikers sometimes are more difficult in terms of character anyway. So I would not see that as too big of a problem necessarily. And I also think, the evidence for his bad character is not exactly so much. It's not like we have a number of incidents where we can clearly say there's a character problem there, like that thing during the preseason where he didn't get that goal he should have gotten. Yeah, I don't know if that necessarily is a huge character issue. That's just a very can be said to be a very minor thing. I would say I would just not hang that too high, I suppose. So I still think he's a very talented guy, and it could still very well happen for him. And I think Anderlecht is a better place for him. Parma was a train wreck, basically, and probably not the right place to see if he can make it in the Bundesliga. I think Anderlecht is both culturally and in football terms much closer to the Bundesliga. His coach is also... someone who used to play in the Bundesliga, so I think there's a lot there that makes me hope that this time in, at Anderlecht is will be a better experience for him and more worth his time, and also be better for us, better for Anderlecht, better for the club, and I really hope it works out. Now I think. He's also kind of in a different position there in Parma. There was just a number of strikers. It was kind of easy to get lost in the shuffle there, I guess. Now he's coming on for Benito Raman, who played a striker there for whatever reason. I don't see that guy as a striker particularly, which kind of gives you an idea that, he's going to get his chances there because he's kind of already there. The best option at striker. So he's going to get his chances. There's going to be some pressure on him, of course, but it's not like he's going to play, he's going to not play well for one or two games, and then he's going to wait for another 10 games to get his next shot. And I think that's good for him. He needs some time, I guess, to find his footing and to see what he can do. So I think that Anderlecht is the right place for that. And then if that happens, I can see him play very well and really make huge strides in the right direction. And that's what I'm hoping still. Because, it's still not easy for us as a club to find our new striker of the future, because Robert Lewandowski is not going to play forever and we're not going to sell him for 100 million. We're not going to buy, like... a great striker at like 25 who's going to be our guy for the next 5 to 10 years. That's just doesn't look very realistic right now, so I still think we should look for those young guys. Of course, it could also be that we get Timo Werner and he's going to be a striker for the next 5 to 10 years. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess it would be really nice if Zirkzee goes and has a, you know, just a 15-20 goal season at Anderlecht would be a great goal for him to hit, come back to Bayern with more confidence, with more maturity, and let's just see what happens from there. Well, as we start to wrap things up, obviously we haven't been living under a rock, and if we call ourselves football fans, I feel like we do have to address what's going on with Lionel Messi, who is definitely leaving I shouldn't even say leaving. He's left Barcelona at this point for good. And all signs seem to point to the fact that he will be going to PSG. Now, I don't really know how to frame this conversation in light of this being a Bayern Munich podcast, but I know, Sebastian, that you did want to talk about it a little bit. I guess the question is, you know, is it frustrating to watch what PSG has been doing this summer and what they're about to do, signing Lionel Messi and taking financial fair play and laughing right in their face? Is it frustrating as a Bayern fan to watch a club do something like that and not receive any sort of, I guess, punishment for what they're doing?
Yes, of course. I mean, everybody's going to be the underdog this Champions League season, basically, right? Because they were already a very strong club. I mean, they have been very successful recently, even without Messi. And now they are getting the best player on the planet, basically. So this is definitely a game changer. And they're not only getting this guy, they're also getting a number of other very, very good players this year. Yeah, this is they are going to be the only huge favorite to win the Champions League, basically. And at least for next year, but probably for the next couple of years even, right? So, yeah, this is also a very important thing for us as a club, right? Mm-hmm. Because Bayern used to be one of the absolute top teams up there. And now you're going to have to wonder, how are we going to stack up against a club like that? And how is this going to go on in the future, right? Are they just going to be able to continue with this? What I really found weird is also, I guess, how they can sign Messi on a relatively small sum. I mean, it's still a ridiculously huge sum. At like 40 million, I think, are the rumors right now. But it's kind of shocking that Messi would be okay with... Well, it's ridiculous to say that, but that Messi is happy with this small paycheck, basically. I don't know what's going on there in the background. Maybe there's... I don't even know how to say it in English. Excuse me, guys. He's probably going to get a huge, what do we say in German, Handgeld. So basically the kind of money you're... Is that a signing bonus or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Work myself through that. Yeah, so, yeah. Maybe there's like a 400 million signing bonus. I don't know. But it's weird because the talk was that Barcelona was... thinking about giving him like 70 million, what some sources were saying. And now PSG is again like nearly getting just the half of just half of his of the new salary, which was already half of what he used to make. So this is kind of confusing situation for me. And yeah, Barcelona is struggling. Apparently not because of financial fair play, but of course, but because of what La Liga is saying, and it's very, very frustrating that there seem to be no rules in place that keep PSG from doing what they're doing, and it's scary for everyone, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure, Garrett. I don't really have any thoughts on the situation other than that it's still kind of shocking to think about Messi playing somewhere besides Barcelona. But do you have anything to add to that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I think I on the one hand, I don't really care if one team's, you know, buying all the players, you know, spending a ton of money on these guys. It's on the one hand, I don't really care all that much, but it's just when it seems like there's a different standard for different teams, and that's kind of how it feels a little bit with PSG and Man City. And I don't know exactly how financial fair play works, but it sure doesn't seem like it really applies to some clubs. And I know too, but you know, PSG, I mean, they haven't, I think the only player that they spent any sort of transfer fee on was Hakimi this summer. So, you know, they got that going for them, but it's frustrating to see that happen. I do kind of wonder if Messi's getting, if there's just all sorts of other side deals that they can work in outside of his contract, being in Paris, being that they're pretty much owned by the Qatari government, if I'm understanding correctly. And, you know, there's a lot going on there. So, yeah, I don't know. As far as Bayern goes, you know, it's been an uphill battle for a while against some of these clubs. Bayern are trying to kind of do the German version of a super club nowadays, which, you know, you have the 50+1 rule and all that stuff. And so while Bayern are not innocent in the some of the dealings that some of these huge clubs have, they certainly seem to carry themselves a little bit better than like a PSG or a Real Madrid or even a Barcelona at this point. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of gonna hold off being upset about it until it's showing that it's working, because I could easily see this just being a situation where everybody expects it to be just complete domination, and it just goes really bad because you have too many chefs in the kitchen, so to speak. And I know that, you know, this is the first year that Messi's won an international trophy, which was, you know, kind of huge, because a lot of times teams, they go through Messi and they don't really know how to function when he's not on the top of his game, or if they have to operate outside of him. So there's still a chance that this doesn't work out. I don't see how that happens exactly, but it could. So I'll just withhold judgment. It's a little disappointing. I mean, but Bayern were never going to be in on getting Messi anyway. So I'm just going to try to take the approach of it's interesting times to be living in, for sure. And so mm-hmm. we kind of see how this all plays out.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting few days, maybe an interesting week, to see how long this takes to play out. But after all of that, Bayern Munich kick off the Bundesliga season this upcoming Friday. And so there's definitely at least something to be excited about. But that's all the time that we have for this episode. If you enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a few ways that you can do that. You can follow us over on Twitter at SuperBayernPod and keep up to date and get in touch with us there. Or you can email us at SuperBayernPod@gmail.com. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. We're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.